Greetings. Excuse me. Greetings to all of you this morning. In Jesus' name, it's an honor, it's a privilege to be here with God's people in God's house. And I thought of, and I love that song, Walter, that you led us in, the goodness of God. It's because of the goodness of God that any one of us are here today, and that we can experience life with God as we do. And so I'm grateful for that. Today, as I thought of a message and thinking of what we're looking forward to next Sunday and what we've been thinking about and talking about for the last little while, of looking forward to communion and again celebrating what Jesus did for us, the suffering and the agony, the pain that he suffered undeservingly for you and I. And what we deserved, he took on our behalf. And so, excuse me. I hope my throat will hold up and be able to continue on here. But and last Sunday, Harley talked about looking forward to communion, and he gave us some history of the past and then of the present and of the future and the meanings of it and so on. And so as we enter this period of time, we're living in the present, being able to experience God's blessing as he has given it to us so freely, and because of his goodness that we can be saved and be able to celebrate this event together with each other is such a good and such a great blessing that we can do that. And so with that, I hope we can look forward to that. I appreciate it's always enjoyable to hear what you have to share in council meeting. And I think most everyone expressed their desire. They're looking forward to take part in communion. And that's the way it ought to be. As Christian people, we need to look forward. That's a highlight in the Christian's life, in our expression to God. We are so limited in so many different ways, and yet that is one way I think that God loves when his people do that and when we desire that. And why? It's because what Sam reminded us the other night, it's in remembrance of what he did. It's not about me or you, but it's about remembering what Jesus did. And so that makes a difference. And so today, I'm not necessarily going to talk. It will enter in. This is the Bible in the Christian life is all involved in this one thing of living a godly life for God. And we're on this journey. And on this journey, we face many different things in our lives. So I've titled this Overcoming the Darkness by Standing on or for the Truth, taken out of Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. You can turn to that. And it talks about the armor of God. And as we go through this, and hopefully we can again be reminded. It's not something that you haven't heard or read or know about, but it's again simply a means of remembering and reminding us of what we... The equipment that we have available for us to help us in our journey. So if you don't know by now, I'm sure you do, that we are in a battle, and it's a battle for our souls. And if you, in just the last 10, I'm going to say 10 years, it seems like things in our world have become, maybe the darkness has become a little more prevalent. Maybe the darkness is seemingly, not maybe, it is getting darker, but maybe it's more getting closer to us, maybe. And so we need to be aware of that. And I want to read something here. I don't often like to do a lot of reading of other people's ideas and reading a sermon, but I am going to do a little reading this morning. And this is something I ran across, and it talks about what we're going to talk about. And it's a call to arms. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, out of Ephesians 6, verse 12. And this is Selwyn Hughes. And in my daily reading, he does a commentary, short on a verse or so about the scripture that was read for that day. And I like what he says about this. Ephesians 6:10 through 20 concerns a spiritual protection that is available to every Christian when doing battle with the devil. All those who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ know, or should know, that the kingdoms of God and the devil are locked together in mortal combat, and Christians, whether they like it or not, are thrust right into the cutting edge of that conflict. Many Christians are pacifists when it comes to the matter of earthly warfare, but no one can be a pacifist when it comes to the matter of spiritual warfare. Once we enlist in the army of God, we are then expected to train in the art of offensive and defensive spiritual warfare. At certain times and occasions in a Christian's life, we find ourselves in a battle that demands fierce hand-to-hand combat with the forces of darkness, and unless we know how to handle these trying situations, we shall easily be overthrown. The Bible shows us that the devil and his minions are bitter enemies of God, but because they are powerless against the Almighty, they turn their concentrated attention on those who are his followers, you and me. Notice how many times the word against appears in Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. It occurs 6 times in all, showing that when anyone comes over to the side of Jesus Christ, they are immediately identified as being for God and against the devil. There can be no compromise on this issue, no peaceful coexistence pact. To be for God is to be against the devil. So I thought that he laid it out very clear and very well. I remember as a young person growing up, often preachers talking about, as Christians, when you become a Christian, you are the battlefield. This is where the battle takes place in our lives, because we are now to have chosen to follow God, and the devil does not like that. And so his attack, he is limited, and he really can't attack God or conquer God. He's tried that, but he failed, and so he can't. So he goes after those that are vulnerable, those that would choose to follow God. Those are the ones he attacks, and that's you and I as Christian people. So I often think about, on this journey that we're on, you that have read Pilgrim's Progress, which I never did, but I've heard enough about it, I know a little bit, but Pilgrim was on this journey to the heavenly city, and he talks about the many things that he encounters and so on. And I'm reminded of the song that the Schwartz singers used to sing, "It's not an easy road, we're traveling to heaven." And that's very true. And that's the road you and I are on. That's where we find ourselves today, presently. And we're looking to the future. And there is one day, the Bible says, that we will have some form of communion. We will participate in heaven that day when we are there at the table with Jesus. And how meaningful that will be for the one that we have been reminded of will be there presently we will see him. We will be with him. How great that will be. So, presently on this journey, we can't go back. We can't live in the past. We can't redo the past, but we can do everything we can today in the present so that we can one day experience all those blessings God has for us in the future. And they are more than anyone that I could tell you in a half hour or even in an hour or even in a day. It's more than I could express that I would be able to. Because John saw all that he saw about heaven, and words failed to describe what he saw. And so, ever since Satan was cast out of heaven, he has been angry with God. And since he managed to deceive Adam and Eve in the garden, he has been busy trying to draw people away from God. Unfortunately, he is somewhat successful. But God hasn't left us without power and a means to overcome the enemy of our souls. He gave us Jesus to redeem us from sin and our lost estate. Through his shed blood on the cross, after his resurrection and ascension, he sent us the gift of the Holy Spirit to abide with us and in us and empower us to live righteous and godly lives through him. Therefore, our faith is a victory that overcomes the world. And that's 1 John 5, 5:4 or 5:8. I have that written down somewhere that I was going to refer to. I think it's 1 John 5:4, if I remember right, but you can correct me on that. It's 1 John 5, anyway. So that's going to be our closing song. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. So let's read our text this morning, starting with verse 10 in Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. These few verses are packed with so much and more than I can tell you or explain to you. And so don't just take what I say today and go on that, but search it and read it and study it, and herein lies the equipment that we need to stand against and to fight, like I read earlier, of the battle that we find ourselves in as Christian people. I'd like to concentrate on verse 10 first there, about finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's something, and in the power of his might. It's something that we as humans probably most all of us are pretty much the same. We think we're pretty tough. Well, we think we're pretty strong, and I can handle it. I can do this. I've got this. And it was reminded of our Sunday school lesson of Jacob. You know, that was Jacob's life. He was living. Jacob could do this. Jacob had it under control. Jacob was the man until he came to a tough spot in his life. He feared his brother because his brother had said when last he'd seen him, I'm going to kill you if I see you. So wouldn't that be enough to scare anyone? It would me. I'm not quite sure what I would do. But Jacob knew he could not avoid that any longer. And so in all that, he encountered God, an angel, or God. I don't know. What you figure out, really, was it God or was it? Later on, he says, I saw God face to face. So I don't know, but that's okay. It was a heavenly being that he could not overpower. Although he withstood all night a wrestle match, and yet he found himself with an equal. But he also discovered that, you know what? I, Jacob, can no longer do this. I need help. And so he asked for a blessing, and he would not let go until the heavenly being blessed him. And then Jacob was a changed man. You and I have to come to that point in our lives as well, if we're going to be successful and if we're going to accomplish anything for God and if we're going to stand for the truth, to be strong in the Lord. We have to figure it out. You know what? I can't do it, but through God I can. And that's what he says, in the Lord and in the power of his might. There is no unlimited power with God. I think one of the translations says the mighty power of God. And so I think it's well worth noting that to start with, and there are many scriptures, and I'm going to read a few, but there are many that refer to that the Bible tells to be strong. Or there was someone in most of the writers or the prophets or the people we talk about in the Bible, someone commanded them to be strong. David commanded Solomon that when he was dying and Solomon's taking charge, that be strong, my son. And in 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. In the NIV, it says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. That's what we need today, to be able to withstand all the conflicts and all the opposition that we face. 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul tells Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Again, it's pointing to something beyond ourselves, and it's to God. Ephesians 3:16, it says, strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. In Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And then in Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, be strong in the power of his might. It is through God and with his power and his grace that will keep us and will get us to where we want to go. Going on to verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. You know, a lot of times when we read directions on something, which I don't like to read directions. I don't have time for that. I just want to put it together and get it going. And then pretty soon I was like, oh, no, I didn't count on this. I don't know where this goes. If I put this on, it might not be first. It should be next. So I better look at the directions. I better read and see what it tells me to do. And so here it is. We can shortcut ourselves on the armor. You take a soldier back in the day when this was referred to in the old times in the way that soldiers dressed to go into battle, had they left off one part of their armor, would leave them very, they could easily be hurt, wounded, killed, or whatever. And so they dared not cut corners, you and I as well. We're facing an enemy that we need all the help we can get. And God has given us all that we need. All we need to do is apply it. But it takes effort. To be strong, there are some things you and I have to do. We need to depend upon God. Number one, we need to submit our lives to Him, and we need to allow Him to direct our ways and to empower us with His Holy Spirit. Now, how some of that works, I can't explain, the works of the Spirit. But as we don't see the wind, we see the effects of the wind. We don't see the Spirit, but we can see the effects of the Spirit in our lives, in other people's lives as well. People have changed. I have seen people that, and I guess probably myself as much as anyone, that was timid and bashful. And I know some of you don't believe that, but I was, still am. And yet, I never dreamed that I could stand up here and talk to a group of people like I do today. Back in the day, I could not have done that. And I didn't do anything really. I got older and I matured a little bit. But it's through, I give credit to the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, that I can share this. Partly because of what I've experienced as well. And when you experience something, you have something to share and to talk about. So put on the whole armor, not just part of it, but the whole armor. And the NIV says, so you can stand against. Six times, as I read earlier, against is recorded here in verse 11, to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So when we are with for God, we are against the devil and darkness. And then he is against us because he is against God. And so the battle rages on. I need to move on. In verse 12, it talks about while we do deal with people on a daily basis. Our battles, our spiritual battles, are from forces of the darkness of this world. We've often talked about that in the past. You know, we tend to look at each other as our enemy. You don't like what I do. You don't like what I say. You don't like what I represent, and vice versa. And so we battle it out together, each other. And some of those things, in reality, we have to face each other. In reality, we have to talk about things. We do face these things. We can't get away from them. But let's not forget, where does this all stem from? Who is behind the way that causes contention and strife within us and within our midst? It comes from Satan. It comes not from God. And so let's take our battles, let's take on the enemy with God's help, which is the enemy of this kingdom of this world, which is the darkness of this world. is what he tells us, that this is what we're facing, this is what we're wrestling against. I am grateful that I cannot and that we do not see into the spiritual world. It maybe would be interesting, but then again, I'm thinking it would be pretty scary and pretty fearful. I'm glad that I don't have to know that. I can accept that it's there, and God can deal with it. God is able to handle that, and God will not give us anything greater than what we can bear and that we can do. And so let's leave it with him. But let's just be aware of it. It's there, and we're going and we're dealing with it every day. Let's go on to verse 14. It talks about the first part of the armor is, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. What's the importance of truth? And he talks about the loins. And my understanding is that the area of our body that's considered the loins is the area between your hips and the bottom of your rib cage. So it's your stomach, it's your middle area, very vital part of your body to be protected. So that was, if you were a soldier, that would be something that you would want to protect and do what you can. But he says, be clothed with truth. The Amplified says, a belt of truth around the waist. And so what benefit and what's the value of truth? If you don't know what the truth is of something, you don't really know a whole lot. Until you know what the truth is, you don't know what to stand for. So we know that the Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so the Bible is God's word, and we know that God's word is truth. And so when we take that and we embrace truth, we have a protection that is one of the first things. If you don't have truth, you don't have any stability. You don't have anything to stand on. And so truth is very necessary, the very first ingredient of our protection. The next one is a breastplate of righteousness. The Amplified says a breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God. So there's a lot of words there that I didn't quite understand, but not quite sure the meaning. But integrity is complete, it's wholeness, unimpaired condition, honesty, sincerity. We talk about we need, as Christian and especially as men, we need integrity. And so that's what it means. We need wholeness. You know, often I think of honesty and sincerity, but unimpaired condition, complete and whole. And then rectitude is straight, honesty, and uprightness. So our character is very important in part of our armor in withstanding the forces of darkness. If you aren't honest, and if you aren't complete or sincere or whole, then you are the opposite, whatever that is. And so you can't stand against the darkness and the powers of the darkness if you aren't upright, don't have good, the breastplate of righteousness, which is honesty, uprightness, sincerity, completeness. And then you take that with truth, knowing you know what you believe, and you believe what you know, then you have a building a solid foundation for yourself. Then he goes on to talk about the feet shod in preparation to face, okay, the Amplified says, feet shod in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability and promptness and readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. So again, your feet are grounded, they're solid. you're able to stand when the pressures come, and you will face pressures. You know that. You do. You're not pushed aside. You're not pushed over, but you're solid in your standing because you have truth and because you have the breastplate of righteousness, integrity, and so on. Your character is what will sustain you. And then to take the shield of faith. Faith is the unquestioning belief, complete trust or confidence, loyalty. There it is, 1 John 5:4. Our faith overcomes the world. And the Amplified gives the idea of a covering. Over all this, there's a covering. And I think the King James, it says here above all taking. So I'm not sure, but they're giving the idea. It's like an umbrella over all this armor, over us as people. And I like that idea, that picture. The faith, our faith is what sort of binds it all together in this armor, in our battle with evil and so on. We know our history would tell us that the shields that they used back in the day were made of different metals. Sometimes some were made out of gold, some were made out of brass, some were made out of wood. And with those, especially the wooden ones, they could, because the enemy often used arrows that they would light. They were flaming arrows and they would shoot it at you. And so what they would do is cover that wood shield with leather. And so that leather could be soaked with water. And so when those flaming arrows hit that shield, it would extinguish. They couldn't burn. And so that's what our faith does. When those flaming arrows come flying at us, our faith keeps us from them from penetrating and causing great harm and stealing away our faith. And then also in verse 17 talks about the helmet of salvation. Protects the head and the mind. And really that's where it all starts, right here in our head. It's very important that we have that helmet of salvation. And again, if you don't know if you're saved or not, then again, you're standing on, your feet are not shod with good, solid footing. Truth is maybe questionable. Integrity could be that maybe you're not, maybe it's okay sometimes to lie. Maybe it's okay sometimes to steal. Maybe it's okay to do some of those things. You're waffling around. But when you have the helmet of salvation, when you know that you have been saved, then you have a solid foundation to move forward on. Romans 10, 9 and 10, very familiar verses. And they're verses that every young believer needs to know and needs to memorize and needs to have a part of their life because it has helped me so much in my young growing up years and even since. When you quote these verses, it gives you that assurance that you need, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There it is in a nutshell. That is the helmet, when you know in your heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it talks about the helmet is the hope of salvation. And then, last but not least, well, it's not quite last yet, sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We need the sword, we need the Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word is sharper than any two-edged sword, And I know we wouldn't, in a soldier in battle carried a sword. I don't know if it was a two-edged or not. But for the Bible to be described as God's word as a two-edged sword, it cuts. And it goes on to say it divides even within us. That's how powerful it is. And it also protects us from the forces of evil, from the devil. Remember what Jesus did when he was tempted. He quoted scripture, and the devil had to flee. You and I as well, when we are tempted. That's why it's important to know the scripture, so that we can quote that when Satan comes at us. Because it's like a shield. It's like a sword. It cuts. The enemy cannot come through that. The Amplified says, the sword that the Spirit wields is the Word of God. I like that. The Spirit of God. We can never separate God's Spirit from all this. The Bible, God, the Spirit, they're all one. And they all harmonize and work together for our good. Need to hurry on here. Praying always in the Spirit. Again, last maybe of the armor, but not the least. Praying is very, probably the most important is to pray. And in the Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. Someone has said there's no great revival that ever happened without a lot of prayer. And no revival has ever kept on going without a lot of prayer. We as people, it's something I need to learn. Maybe you have learned it, but to pray, the importance of prayer, how much prayer benefits and how much power there is in prayer, and it's there available if I just ask. God, the Word tells us so many times, just ask, and I will do it, God said. The Amplified says again, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Not just prayer for you or me, but prayer for each one. That's what will keep this church together. That's what will move us forward, is praying together. Thank you, Austin, for what you did this morning in prayer. That is something that the forces of darkness don't like, and is something that will cause them to turn on their heels and run, is when God's people get together and pray in sincerity and in truth, because they can't stand that. There's a power that is overbearing to them, and they will need to flee. Romans 8, 26 and 27. I'm going to turn to that yet. Paul says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth that it is the mind of the Spirit, what is the mind of the Spirit? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work. No, I'm sorry. I'm going. I started to 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Groanings. You know, sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't have words. We don't quite know what to say. And we often interpret that as the Spirit taking over, and I think that can be true. But at this time, or sometimes, the groanings are, now whether the Spirit, whether they're unspoken or words that cannot be expressed in human language, I don't know what he's talking about there for sure, which one it is, but it doesn't matter, either one. The relationship between the Holy Spirit and the Father is so close that the Holy Spirit's prayers need not be audible. God knows his every thought. I like that. In the kingdom of God, in a heavenly realm, there is unity and there is peace between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. In God's Word, they all agree together. And so I encourage us today that as we continue to travel this journey, to remember our goal, our focus to be on heaven. That's where we're all striving to head for, to end up. In the meantime, we face a lot of difficult things. But remember, God has given us the equipment we need to stand and to be able to get there. It is possible. Many have gone before us, and they're there cheering us on. So keep on. Keep on fighting. It's worth all the effort. Thank you, and if you would, I think our closing song is 469, In the Faith and Praise. Go ahead and stand, and we'll pray. Thank you for your attention, and sorry for going over a few minutes, but may God bless your food and keep it from burning, and may it be tasty. Thank you, God, again for today, and thank you for your blessings to us. Thank you for your goodness. We know it is because of the goodness of God that we are here today and that we can say that you are our Father. Thank you. So I pray a blessing on each of these folks as they leave here and as they go about their way this week. Keep them, God, in your love and in your care. Protect them and help them to stay faithful to you. And may they be aware of all the armors and the benefits that are out there for us to fight the battles we're in. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. You sing.